Annyeonghaseyo! Welcome to Afternoona Delight, where Leah, Megan, and Amy, romance novelists and your K-romance guides. So grab some dekboki and listen to your new favorite unease. Hello!
Hi there!
Hello, everybody!
It's hey, everybody!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't even say your line right!
We've only been doing it for 3 years.
I'm sorry, it's just Amy and Megan.
Can you tell the difference?
Yeah, can you tell the difference? I'm Megan, and Leah is doing something kind of podcast related. She is going to see the D-Day in Concert movie, which is Suga's concert, the BTS member.
Yes.
And
a worthy reason to miss tonight, for sure.
Because she was like, I have to be there.
And like, we understand.
And we said, Leah, we get it. We get it. So
we got some shit we can talk about without her. It's fine.
Right?
So there's always something we can talk about. We love it when it's the three of us. But yeah, we were just talking ahead of recording about how lucky we are that we can cover for each other so that we can live life outside of the pod, even though we all love the pod so much. But it's been a regular part of our lives for over 3 years. January 2021 is when we started.
I know. And I love that. And I like, because, yeah, we were saying too, like, it's, I like having three of us because we can, then two people can pick up the slack if one person is like super busy. Like, this is a crazy month for me. And so when it comes to like script and editing, like, Leah and Amy have definitely been doing more of the heavy load. And then next month is a crazy month for Amy. But it's a less busy month for me because your daughter is graduating high school next month.
I know. Oh, my God.
I can't believe
my
that.
Baby. I know. It's crazy.
I still remember, I mean, well, like I said, when I met Amy, I was breastfeeding my daughter. So that was 10 years.
I remember
ago.
We would message each other on Facebook and you would say, my daughter is laying on my chest, sucking on my boob right now.
Yeah. And I'm reading your book, Amy, while I'm
Right.
While I'm nursing.
Oh, back in the day, we used to read each other's books before we even like got them published.
And now we just don't have time.
We don't. I know. Now we're like, I miss that.
Yeah, because that's another thing. Amy, you had a book released yesterday.
I did. I had my book Finally Found My Cowboy come out yesterday. I have to pause and think about the titles because it's something. It's always something, something cowboy.
Right. I know.
And I get mixed up sometimes.
Yeah. And what's it about?
It is. So this is kind of making me laugh because we were just talking about like authenticity of stuff that we write before we got on tonight. And like when I tell you all that I write cowboys, there are horses and there are people who ride the horses. But that's about as cowboy as things get because I am not a cowgirl and, you know, I'm trying to write as much as I know. I have ridden a horse before. So my cowboys, you know, there's ranches, there's cowboys, they wear cowboy hats. But that's about as cowboy as I get. So this particular cowboy, Eli, is a veterinarian.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a cowboy veterinarian and also a widower. And who lost his wife in a horseback riding accident. So he's like anti the ranch right now. Mm-hmm. And the ranch hasn't had horses for 3 years, like since she died. Oh. And Till, his brother in book one, ends up like getting this horse and, you know, rehabilitating it and whatever, and like begging Eli to keep it on the ranch, and then decides that he wants to get the ranch going again. And then in this book, he brings a rescue horse to the ranch and is like, you got to take her, Eli. They were going to euthanize her because she's injured. Like, you got to take her. And then my heroine, Beth, is an injured dancer who wants to be a Radio City Rockette, but tore her Achilles in her audition. Oh. And so her sister tricks her into coming to Meadow Valley, which is the town in California, to stay with her and recuperate. She tricks her into staying in Eli's guest house and working as his office manager so that she gets out of her like funk because she's depressed. And oh, so I love it's it. Like a grumpy grumpy. It's not Grumpy Sunshine. There's two grumps. And it's fun. It's super tropey and I love it and I'm proud of it. Yeah, and you can read it if you want. It's in paperback, ebook, and audio.
I was going to say, or listen.
Yeah, Finally Found My Cowboy. Yeah, Zura Johnson, who's my narrator, she did the first book too. She's fantastic. So, yes, go listen if you like audiobooks.
Yeah, you mentioned like your titles are always like something, something cowboy. I mean, my titles are like... like, sometimes I say a book title and Amy and Leah are like, they laugh. And I'm like, no, that's actually the book title. And they're like...
because it's like, it's exactly what's happening in the book.
Yeah, like... yeah, because of the niche I write, like, so I have Hunted by the Alien Assassin. And they're like, is that, I'm like, yes.
That's what the title is. That's what happens in the book.
I have Claimed by the Alien Chieftain.
Okay.
Or I just have like, you know, the Alien Sacrifice, the Alien Surrender, stuff like that.
But alien, aliens in the title.
Yeah, so they all blend together. It is funny though, because I... did sign a deal with Tantor, which is an audiobook company, and so they do pretty much all my alien romances. They produce them into audiobooks, and they'll send me like pronunciations. Like they're like, this is okay. So we had, you know, our narrators read through, and this is what they think the pronunciation is. Can you make any corrections? And I gotta be honest, sometimes I'm just like, sure.
Like, do you even know how you say it?
I'm like, I don't fucking know. Are you kidding? Like, I'm like, I just write these random alien words. And I mean, I do sound them out in my head. Yes. But like,
there's no correct way.
There's no correct way. Because
to say a made up word.
Yeah. Sometimes I have readers who are like, oh, I've been, you know, I've been saying this character's name this way, and I'm like, then go ahead. I don't care. Like, so I have a character named, I say it Zav, like in my head I say it Zavy, like rhymes with savvy, but it's spelled X-A-V-Y. And so some people are like, oh, I've been saying it like
Zavy.
Yeah or like, yeah, like rhymes with navy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, go for it.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like, I really don't care. It's not that serious. You know, no one's making a movie about these books. So, yeah, it's just so funny, though, because sometimes it's like this long list and I'm looking through it and I'm like, actually, this pronunciation is better than what I had in my head. Like, this would probably sound better as an audiobook. Also, these poor narrators, the ones who have to do it.
Right.
So if they're like, I'd rather pronounce it this way, I'm like, go ahead. It's just... seriously, I should send you sometimes the monstrous list I get.
I would love to see it.
A pronunciation. I
think that would be amazing. I think next time you get one, I think you should read it. For the pod.
It's like I was sent a really long one the other day and I was like, oh my God. I mean, thank you for asking my opinion, but to be honest, you could have just at least it wasn't a meeting, because that definitely could have been an email. I can tell you that.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love it.
But anyway, I'm excited about today because when we realized Leah wasn't going to be here, we were like, well, what can we talk about? And I was like,
what have we watched that she hasn't watched? And I forgot.
And I said, look, let's do Love to Hate You, because I've been talking about this drama for a while. I explicitly told Amy, I think it's her drama.
And
I even think, didn't I put it on one of our, like, sell us a drama?
Yes.
Wasn't that the one
yes.
we talked about? Okay.
Yes.
So I felt, like, really vindicated that I successfully sold this drama to Amy. And we never did a deep dive on it, but I think it deserves one because I think it was, first of all, a great drama. There's a lot of interesting parts about it. Unique things in this drama mm-hmm. that I, at least what I felt. And I know a lot of you guys watched it. Like, I know a lot of listeners watched it. We were asked to watch this drama repeatedly by you guys. So,
and it's a quick 10 episode and they're like an hour long. Like, you can get this done quickly. And for me, it was, I had watched the first two episodes. I remember I'd watched the first two episodes and then I can't double dip. Like, if I'm watching something and then I need to go watch something for the podcast, which is, I think, what happened, then I have to put that aside and go watch this whole other drama because I don't have, like, the bandwidth to double dip. So, yeah, so I'll be watching something, and then if I decide to go watch something else, then I just abandon and go back. I did that with, like, I'm just remembering, like, I never went back and finished Summer Strike.
No.
I watched...
Was that what it's called?
Yeah. With MC Wan?
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I was like, I couldn't remember. Oh, yeah, it is called Summer Strike. You're right. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I watched, like, 8 episodes of it and then didn't go back.
Okay, I have to admit, the end gets super weird. I liked Summer Strike, but the end gets weird.
Okay. Well, it's not, like, top on my list now because I just double-dipped today and I'm putting one drama aside for another. And we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm so happy. And what it took for me to go back to it was watching Past Lives. And I was like, good God almighty, why is Uteo not in my life right now? And so I was like, I have to go back and watch Love to Hate You. And I did. And I'm so happy. So happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And shout out to Grace, because we thought that T.E.O.,
It was because of Past Lives. Past Lives flipped his name.
Right.
We thought
pronouncing T-E-O, we thought we were supposed to pronounce it like Saul, like Park Seo Joon.
Park Seo Joon, yeah.
And Grace was like, no, and she said actually for his name it's Tae-o. So just so you know, that's why we're pronouncing it.
And that's because it's because like English can't replicate Hangul. And
yeah,
when they try to, you know, anglicize it, it gets messed up.
Yeah. So that's why we're saying his name that way, just so you know. But yeah, I'm excited about this one.
I am too. But we're not going to talk about that first. we're going to back it up a second. So I will say this, like we do in all of our drama deep dives, you know, we'll let you know when we're getting to the spoiler section, but there's not going to be, when we do get to Love to Hate You, because we got a little something in the beginning, there's not going to be a big non-spoiler section because it's just such a short drama that there's not much to get into. But I got a couple questions to start us off. But first, because we are recording this on April 10th and on April 9th, right? It dropped just yesterday.
I think, or at least the day before, like very recently.
Yeah, the Baek Sang nominations. And so Megan put up a thread in our Patreon to see how everybody's feeling about the nominations and got some good like things to talk about. But just to start, like I just want to ask you in general, do you watch award shows?
Yeah, I'm not a big award show person. I'm really not. But I like nominee. You know, I'm one of those people that's like, I'm just thanks for nominating. I don't necessarily need like a final award.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
But I like the fact that you can cobble together a list of actors who clearly kind of really went above and beyond in a role. And I think that's okay to do that. I think it's okay to recognize actors. I don't always love that there's a final award, if that makes sense. But I like giving that recognition of hard work to people who do a really good job in their job, basically.
Yeah, I used to be really big into the Oscars like years ago when I feel like I was into the Oscars like before I had kids, because that's when I used to go see movies a lot and like the kind of movies that get nominated for Oscars, right? Then I had kids, and not to say that movies for kids are not good movies, but, you know, Despicable Me is not going to get a nomination, you know, stuff like that. My kids are teenagers now, and we go see movies more now, but, like, movies that I see with my kids are more, you know, like, action-type stuff. You know, like, we just went and saw the new Ghostbusters movie. You know, so, again, I'm getting more into seeing stuff for me, but I usually don't see stuff for me until it's like streaming. But this year I did watch the Oscars because of the misogyny. because, you know, because of all of, you know, what went on with Barbie, because I thought Barbie was phenomenal and I was thrilled that Barbie got nominated for best movie. But to hit the nail on the head by nominating the movie, but not the female director, the male lead, but not the female lead. And right. No shade to Ryan Gosling, because we love Ryan Gosling and he's fantastic as Ken. But there is no Ken without Barbie. There is no Barbie movie without Greta Gerwig. So I just wanted to see how that all got handled. And so I watched for the first time in years. I think I watched the whole thing. Same went for the Grammys. I watched the Grammys start to finish this year because I'm a new Swiftie. And so I wanted to see Taylor Swift win awards. I wanted to see her make some sort of announcement that she's been dropping Easter eggs for. And everybody thought that she was going to announce, Reputation, Taylor's version. But instead, she announced the Tortured Poets Department, which comes out in 9 days.
Come out soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was fun to see that. And yeah, I like people getting recognized for their work. So there was a patron who, you know, made the argument of, you know, pitting artists against each other and, you know, like saying one art is better than another art or one performance is better than another performance. It is a slippery slope, right? But this whole awards thing has existed like since we've been able to watch TV. So I feel like it's always been like a part of the culture. And like you said, I like seeing good work get recognition, but I also don't like seeing good work not get recognized.
I know. It's so hard too, because I know, I don't want to say it's political. I think it's like, maybe
it's a popularity contest.
Yeah,
though.
It is,
you know,
and I think there's lobbying. It's about money.
For sure.
And so that's
it's
frustrating
timing
too,
right? Like it's timing.
Oh, always timing.
Yeah.
Always timing. And so I don't love it. But then, you know, sometimes.
But you do want to see people get the recognition that they deserve too. Yeah.
But if you're a fan, this is the thing.
100%.
If you are a fan of these actors and actresses, these directors, these movies, that feels validating to you to see them get recognized. So I get why award shows have their place.
But yeah, there's controversy to it as well. And so we recognize that. And I'm just it's hard because I wanna see people get, you know, kudos for what they've done.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to list the dramas that are nominated. I'm not going to list everything, all of the nominations, because it's a lot and you can go look it up and we're not going to spend, you know, too much time on this. But let's talk about the dramas that are nominated, because this is the best drama list. The Good Bad Mother, Moving, Revenant, My Dearest, and Daily Dose of Sunshine. Which have you seen?
Yeah, I hate this because the only one I've seen is My Dearest.
I've seen and none. Really,
I know, which is
I've seen none. And crazy. And Sarah from Afternoon Ass is going to be so mad at me because she keeps telling me to watch Moving. And I'm going to watch it, Sarah, but I have to be in the right frame of mind for it.
I know.
Because it's violent. But I get it. Like, she sold it to me. She's like, it's like the TV show Heroes, if you watched Heroes. And I did watch Heroes religiously. But. K-drama form, which is going to be even better, but I have to be in the mood for the icky stuff.
Yeah, I mean, The Good Bad Mother did not have anything I was interested in. I actually didn't hear much about Daily Dose of Sunshine. I did want to watch Revenant because I like Kim Tae-ri. I want to watch Moving, and I watched My Dearest. I will say, if My Dearest was just based on season one, 5 out of 5 stars.
I know the spoiler that makes you hate it, and I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, because Sarah was like, she sent me a message. She's like, did you listen to Grace and I, the podcast we did for Afternoon Asks about My Dearest? And I was like, unfortunately, no, because I'm so behind on my podcast. Because she's like, that might like clear up some things for you. But
But
I'm not going to give a spoiler, but
it doesn't change what they did.
No, because my main beef, they're not going to be able to clear that. And she said, no, we didn't address that. And I was like, okay,
right. Oh, okay, so that's it. Yeah.
They probably talked about some of the like confusion elements, which is totally fair. Totally
sure,
fair.
Sure. But that's not what you didn't like.
No. It's okay. But I still, I mean, My Dearest was fantastic. I mean, I understand. And if it wouldn't, honestly, if it hadn't been nominated, I would have been like, what? Because it was so epic. So Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Basically.
So, but I'm like, oh gosh, maybe I will watch The Revenant. You know, I don't know. I will say it seems like they have a really cool mix of genres. I will say that, you know?
Yeah. And that's good too. Like, let's see some contemporary. Let's see some historical. Yeah. Let's see some
like horror kind of, some like drama, which would be The Good, Bad Mother, some action. Like, it's very, very cool.
Yeah.
So I give props for the variety. Okay. So there are many other nominations for Best Actor, Actress, blah, blah, blah. We'll put a link to all the noms in the show notes.
Yeah, because there's a good article in Soompi that lists everything. I think that's what we posted in Patreon, isn't it?
Yes. But some people have some people in our Patreon have some hot takes, so we can kind of discuss some of what they said. One general thought to start with is that more than one patron expressed the disparity between males nominated from a drama, but not their female counterparts. Specifically, Kim Soo Hyun for Queen of Tears, while Kim Ji Won was snubbed, and Lee Yi Kyung for Marry My Husband, but not Song Ha Yoon. So, what are our thoughts on that?
So, I was ready to go in hard for Song Ha Yoon until I saw that there was just bullying allegations dropped about her earlier this week. So, ugh, but I don't know if that played into her not getting nominated, because it seems like these allegations just came out. So, you know, kind of like right before the nominations were dropped. So I don't know. I read the article about the allegations. It doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, her performance was a stellar performance in Marry My Husband, for sure.
Insanely good.
And Lee Kyung was great too. By him getting nominated, I'm not saying that he doesn't, you know, we're not saying that he doesn't deserve it, but it is interesting, you know, like what we were just talking about with Barbie and this sort of like inherent misogyny of, you know, his performance was so good because of who he was performing with, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for having, go ahead. I'll talk about Queen of Tears after, because I think you were going to say something.
Oh, well, no, it's just that. Well, no, it's interesting you said that, too, because in the Patreon thread, I was like, you know, I'm so, so thrilled that B-I-B-I, she's a singer,
mm-hmm.
and she was in The Worst of Evil, and she got nominated as, like, a Best New Actress. And I was like, thank God, because she was freaking incredible. She was so good. So I said, you know, I'm really, really glad she got the nom. And one of the Patreon commenters said, I agree with you, although Ji Chang-uk did not get a nom. And one of the reasons that BB was so good was because she acted off of him and her chemistry with him. And I was like, fair point.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm like, well, we should also be saying, like, that's the thing,
right.
though.
Right. Like, nobody performs in a vacuum, right? Like,
no.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not an actor, but I know from being a consumer of television and film that, like, you can't have a good performance without being surrounded by other good performers. You know what I mean? Because it is a give and take. I took some improv classes. I mean,
yeah, I was gonna say, actually,
but it is, you know, it did. I went to theater school for a hot minute. But yeah, it is, it's a give and take for sure. And that's why, yeah, like, Song Ha Yoon was the performance, like, in Marry My Husband, and in Queen of Tears, which I just started before we started recording, because I'm like, why haven't I started this yet? And then realizing as I'm watching it that it's, you know, that it's Park Ji-yeon is the writer, who wrote Crash Landing on You and Legend of the Blue Sea, and like, what the hell is up my butt that I haven't been watching this? And there's like Chloe Easter eggs, like, right in the very first episode. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
But also, like, I've literally watched one half of the first episode, and I understand why Kim Soo Hyun was nominated.
Oh,
like, he's fantastic off the bat. But guess what? So is Kim Ji Won.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it is their interplay as this, you know, once happy couple who's like, you know, sleeping in separate rooms and eating across the table from each other. Like, it's the way they're acting off of each other, right? So,
yeah,
that's such a good point. And I think, you know, we already made the Barbie point, but like, yeah, if you're getting nominated for Best Actor, you didn't act alone.
Right, exactly. Especially when it's you're tied so heavily with your lead.
Right.
Which, in The Worst of Evil, Bibi was so heavily tied with Ji Chang-uk. She kind of had this like weird sort of romance with him, even though he was married. It's kind of a long story. It's kind of a complicated drama. But she was, oh my God, she was so good. I mean, really, really loved her. So I was happy to see her nominated. But then I do agree. Ji Chang-uk made her look really freaking good. Not that she didn't look good on her own, but again, as you said, it's a cast for a reason.
Right.
Yeah, and so I know you just watched Twinkling Watermelon.
So Sarah from Afternoon asks. Yeah, Sarah from Afternoon Asks mentioned Twinkling Watermelon, and hell yes. I mean, if you guys don't watch that, then I'm going to have to get together with her and do an episode on it because it was such a stellar drama. It was so good. The performances were so good. And that was one of the things that we were talking about in the Patreon is what does best new actor mean? Because some people who are nominated have been in like a handful of stuff. And I guess the criteria is you have to have been in three dramas or less to get best new actor. And so, you know, she brought up one of the male leads in Twinkling Watermelon. She's like, then, you know, we got to give it to him because he was absolutely fantastic. I think everybody in Twinkling Watermelon was absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, who is the Academy, the Baek-sung Academy? Like, who does the voting? Who picks? Like, how does it all work? Not that we know how the Academy Awards works because, you know, everything happens, you know, over there in Hollywood land. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
Yeah. And Sarah also mentioned Death's Game. And I do have to say, I'm surprised Death's Game didn't get some sort of nod. The writing for that was pretty incredible. So I'm a little surprised, but you know, we'll see how the awards shake out. I mean, I think you're always going to be disappointed that you're absolute favorites aren't nominated. You know what I mean? Like inherently, yeah. You're going to be like, but I saw that and it was incredible.
Right. And like, I can't speak to what is nominated because I didn't see it. And like, it's again, I'm not saying that those dramas don't deserve it or those actors or actresses don't deserve it. But yeah, there's so many good things. There's so many good dramas out there. How do you pick?
I feel like this is the thing. I feel like when it comes to like Hollywood movies, you know right away if it's Oscar fodder. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like you knew right away Oppenheimer, that was going to be, you knew before that movie came out, that was going to be nominated.
And when I talk about timing, like those movies that they want to be like the big, huge smashes, they're going to release them like around the holidays.
Right. And so I am curious about sort of the K-drama nominations if like, it doesn't seem like that with K-dramas. Like it does seem maybe a little bit more open, but I could be wrong. You know what I mean?
I don't know what the timing of it is because Queen of Tears just dropped.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy
he's already nominated.
Well, it's not even finished.
I know.
Okay. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, it is interesting to me to nominate a drama, but not its director or its writer, you know, stuff like that. Like that.
Yeah.
That always, like, that's where the drama came from.
I agree. I know.
Yeah.
It does interest.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, if you are interested in the Beck songs, the Oscars, whatever, any kind of award shows, you know, let us know your thoughts in our socials because we love chatting with you about that stuff. But now we're going to get moving to Love to Hate You. But before we do, let's just to make a seamless transition or not so seamless. How about if we do our K-pop rec of the week?
Yay! I'm so excited about this one. So the song this week is called Midas Touch, and it's by Kiss of Life. Kiss of Life is a 4-member girl group. This song is basically 2000s pop, okay? It's ridiculously fun. You would, like, it feels nostalgic. It really does.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, it kind of has a beat that just reminds me of, like, yeah, like early 2000s. Very, very fun, sort of like Y2K retro sounding, if that makes sense. And like these girls, like this music video budget was sky high. These girls look amazing. They have 5 million costume changes, CGI all over the place. They look like gold. I mean, Midas touch, let me tell you. So I really recommend it. Super fun, sexy, and yeah. Y2K pop, go for it. So it's called Midas Touch and it's by Kiss of Life.
Awesome. And we'll mention that in the show notes and probably find the video and drop it in there for you too, because that's fun.
It's so good.
If you enjoy our podcast, you have our patrons to thank, at least in part. Afternoon of Delight Patreon allows us to keep creating content for y'all to enjoy. Thank you so much to everyone who is supporting us there. And not to brag, but our Patreon community is pretty awesome. And you can join at a tier that feels good to you. Gain access to fun perks like K-drama posts, monthly Patreon-only bonus podcasts, and even a live K-drama support group on Zoom. Because we know firsthand what it's like to have no one to talk to about those crazy plot twists, amazing characters, and all those feelings. And look, no one should have to walk that walk alone. So learn more by visiting afternoonadelight.com. That's www.afternoonadelight.com. And hey, while you're on the website, you can check out Afternoon of Delight podcast merch, find links to book recommendations, bop along to our K-pop recs, glow up your skin with K-merch recs, find all of our social media, and a link to our email so you can send us recommendations or feedback. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you pop over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review? It really helps with our discoverability. Gamsahamnida.
That just made me think, you know, talking about like Y2K era and nostalgia. I just heard the other day a Garbage song on the radio, and I freaking love Garbage.
Oh my God, I haven't heard Garbage in forever.
I know. This is what I'm saying. Like, talk about nostalgia. Like, that was around that, like, Y2K, I was listening to Garbage 2.0. Like,
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, this is like pop Y2K. You know what I mean? Definitely not grunge. So this is like, it's like Britney Spears era. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, very, totally.
No, I wasn't expecting K-pop to sound like Garbage. I was just talking. Yeah. That was my nostalgia, because that was just this week. So.
And for people who don't know, like, Garbage is a, I hope.
Oh my gosh, please.
It's a band name.
Yes. Yeah,
but it's not actual Garbage. We like Garbage.
No. Shirley Manson. Mm-hmm. Scottish band. Yes. Love them. Okay. So now that we have our little K-pop part out of the way, we are going to move on to Love to Hate You. So Love to Hate You was an early 2023 drama that starred Kim Ok-Vin, Woo Tae-yo, Kim Ji-hoon, and Go Won-hee. As we said earlier, we'll give you a heads up when we get to the spoilers, which will probably be pretty soon because we only have 10 episodes to discuss. So to start, our male leads in this drama are both about to turn 43. In fact, Woo Tae-yo's birthday is tomorrow, April 11th. So happy birthday, I can't say it.
Yeah.
Kim Ok-Vin, our female lead, is 37. She's in her 38th year. And Go Won-hee is almost 30. So yeah, this is all.
Kim Ji-hoon is older than me.
I said they're both about to turn 43. His birthday's next month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's going to be 43 also. This is all just to say that it is an adult cast. Oh. And I say adult with italics. Because all K-dramas have adult casts, but this is like really adults. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about dramas with more mature actors getting to have on-screen romances?
So I think this was part of what I sold it to you. I was like, this feels like an adult romance. It feels like adult courtship. It feels like an adult relationship. It feels mature. I mean, everyone has emotional failures or whatever when it comes to relationships. So, of course, they both screw up at certain times. But everything about it felt adult to me. And it made me want more dramas like this. You know, I mean, I'm known on this podcast as not being one who like loves the like high school dramas. And I know. So that's why I loved it.
You haven't even watched one other than All of Us Are Dead.
And I haven't watched a lot. But so it's one of the reasons I love this drama so much. And like Yoo Tae-ho looks like a man. Like there, he's not.
I can't even with this man.
He's in no way styled or made to look young. Like, you know how like Song Joong-ki, they're always trying to make that man look 25. He just has kind of like that small baby face.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I like about Yoo Tae-ho is it's like he looks 43. And I say that as perfection. Like,
yes.
Like, I say that in all the good ways, okay? I just love him. And even, like, Kim Ji-hoon, this is the same way. Like, he doesn't look 25, you know? And he looks like a
man. Or, like, he's going to murder you.
Right, because...
I'm not going to spoil where he's a murderer, because you'll... If you know, you know.
Oh, like, which drama?
Yeah, because I don't want to... I don't want to spoil, because you don't know in the beginning. Yeah.
Right, right. And no, this has nothing to do with Love to Hate You. That's a different role.
No. But yeah. Just saying, yeah, if you know, you know.
Yeah, if you know, you know. Oh, he's actually a terrible murderer in he was a terrible murderer in Mask Girl as well.
Oh, is he? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, wow. He's terrible.
Talk about typecasting.
I know. Poor Kim Ji-hoon. He's so good at both, too. He's very good at being evil. But anyway, so for me, that's why Love to Hate You was just so delicious to me. It was just an adult romance with mature leads, and they acted that way, they looked that way, and it made me happy.
Yeah, I've seen a couple dramas in the past, I'd say like 6 months-ish, that have had like secondary, quote-unquote, mature romances that like they played it for farce, right? Like for laughs. Like, My Demon had one, and Destined with You had one. And we're like the people playing these roles, like the couple in Destined with You, like it was very farcical, like lots of physical comedy. And I'm not saying that physical comedy is bad. Like there was physical comedy in the main couple too, but like theirs was like over the top. Like there was nothing really sentimental about them. It was all like goofy and like hijinks and played for laughs. And the male in that pairing, in real life was only 39, and they're like playing him like he's this old man, like,
oh,
you know, finally settling down. Yeah.
No.
And then in My Demon, it's, you know, it's a side couple as well. And it's both like the male and female leads. It's both of their like assistants kind of thing. And it's like, it's made that it's like taboo that they're having a romance and they have to hide. And if people catch them kissing, like it's, you know, it's the end of the world kind of thing. So what I really liked, especially being a mature person myself, was seeing romance on the screen with people in their 40s, late 30s, and having it not be funny that people that age are like having romance.
No, it was sexy.
I mean, like, it's a rom-com, but like it was sexy. Yes.
Yeah. Love to Hate You is sexy. And that's one of the reasons too. I was like, okay, they're like not acting like I know that a lot of K-dramas are chased and there's nothing wrong with that. But I would say for this couple, there was enough
chemistry. It's adults being adults.
It's adults being adults. Like, okay, yeah. Like they're in love. Well, like then they're going to be in bed together.
Yeah. We touch each other. Yeah.
We're not going to pretend like we don't touch each
other. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I loved that. And. Yeah, yeah. He looks like a man. Like, he looks like a man.
That's why I love him so much.
I don't, and I feel zero guilt for, like, ogling him because zero. I'm not that much older than him.
He's my opa.
Oh, man.
Not much, like 2 years, but.
Yeah. So let's look at both the Asian Wiki blurb and the Netflix blurb for this drama because I love comparing the stakes in each. And stakes. Hey. Especially in romance, just in case we're, you know, using terminology that you don't usually think about, refers to what the love interests have to lose by entering into a romantic relationship. Because if the rule of romance is that it has to end in a happily ever after, we want some good stakes to make us think that the HEA won't be easily won. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You want to read the first one?
Yes.
The Asian Wiki one?
So from Asian Wiki, Yeo Mi-ran, played by Kim Ok-fin, is a rookie attorney at Gilnu Law Firm, which works primarily with the entertainment industry. She is not interested in having a romantic relationships, and she hates to lose to a man in anything, which is extremely factual. Nam Gong-ho, played by Woo Tae-ho, is a top actor in the entertainment industry. He is the most popular actor in South Korea due to his handsome appearance, intelligence, and kindness. He is sought after to work in romantic movies, but he doesn't actually trust women. Yeo Mi-ran and Nam Gong-ho, who both don't believe in love, fall into a love battle. Ooh.
Okay. And we know that that is also like translated too, right? Like we understand that that the Asian Wiki is often translated from like what the Korean write-up is. But Netflix is going for the Western appeal, right? So here's the Netflix blurb, which really is, it's an elevator pitch. It's one sentence. For an attorney who despises losing to men and an A-list actor who distrusts women, love means nothing. That is, until they're forced to date each other. Which one has more stakes for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Netflix one. I mean, that's kind of like a common beef we have sometimes with the Asian Wiki. There's just like no stakes. And I'm sure, again, we talked about this, it's probably just what that audience prefers.
Right.
But for me, yeah, I want to know the stakes. I want to know why they can't be together. And
the tropes, too. That gave us the fake dating trope right there.
Yeah, it gave us the fake dating trope and enemies to lovers.
Yes.
Great. Like, enemies to lovers and fake dating, I mean, those fit together like peanut butter and jelly. So I, like, immediately I'm like, great. Like, that lets me know what I'm up for. I mean, the drama is more complicated than that, obviously.
Yes.
And the fake dating actually doesn't happen until more towards, like, the end. Like, a lot of other stuff happens before that.
Yes.
But it's good enough.
You know,
it's good enough to tell me what the drama is about.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I always think this, like, we used to have, oh my gosh, way back in, like, the early publishing days of, like, 2013 or whatever, we used to have what was called Pitch Wars on Twitter, that when it was called Twitter.
Yes.
And that was when you only had 180 characters. That was back when that was still a thing. And you had to pitch your novel within 120 characters plus the specific hashtag, which was always some sort of, like, usually it was Pitch Wars.
That's how I got my first agent, was from Pitch
Wars. That's also how I got my first book deal, was Pitch Wars. So thank you, Pitch Wars. And that was very difficult because a lot of writers are like, but this happens and this happens and this happens. It's like, right.
Sell but when it, we're talking about characters.
When you're talking about you're just trying to sell your book. You're not. No one's going to go back to your blurb and be like, well, this isn't really what happened. Like you're selling your book on the tropes and sometimes you can, you know, I'm not saying you say things that didn't happen, but you need to sell the stakes to your book. This Netflix blurb, that's exactly what it does.
Yep.
So yeah, I would pick it based on that. Love to Hate You is billed as a romantic comedy, as many romance dramas are, but why do you think this one, in particular, lives up to the drama?
The genre, you mean?
What'd I say?
Drama.
Oh, God. Oh, but why do you think this one in particular lives up to the genre?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of rom-com dramas and that I've watched and loved, but this one is really all about the romance and the comedy. Like, there is the lowest of low angst in this.
Yeah.
And I'm totally okay. And you know what? I still cried at the end. There's super low angst, and I still got emotional at the end because it was a great, like, you know, there's a third act breakup, so it's like a great, like, reconciliation, and I was totally there for it. Yeah, I mean, like, it is just swoony and funny. Like, that's it.
This one has a perfect mix of physical comedy
mm-hmm.
with also like dialogue comedy, like inside jokes with the viewers, like you get why something's funny because of something that previously happened in the drama, that type of thing. Like I said, but there is physical comedy too, which I like sometimes. And both of the actors, well, all the whole cast did such a fantastic job. It's so funny. I mean, laugh out loud funny.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the heroine, like Kim Ok-Vin, man, incredible. She truly is. There are things where I was like, this isn't, like, the drama isn't going to take it this far. And then all of a sudden she's like being silly, singing karaoke, like shaking her butt with pigtails. And you're like, okay, they took it that far and they made her do this. And it's funny and she pulls it off every time. She's fantastic.
Yeah. I can't say enough good things about the rom-com aspect of this. It just made me so happy.
Oh, it's so a good. Delicious rom-com.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. So, okay. So, again,
that's small, guys.
We're not done.
I know.
But
I know.
We're done with the non-spoilers. So, if you don't want spoilers, then this would be the time to jump off. But again, you just got to see it. This is an A-plus drama. Let's give it a go.
10 hours. Yeah, 10 hours. But yeah. Also, if you're going to stick with us, I really do think it's safe to say that even if you listen to us spoil the whole thing, you could still go watch it and love it.
Yeah,
like you're still going to love it. When Megan did the Sell Us on a K-drama, I remembered when I got to it, I remember distinctly you talking about like the mistaken assumption that she made about the hero and like,
oh, right.
When she's teaching him how to fight and decides to kick his ass because of it. Mm-hmm. And that scene was still hilarious for me. Like even though I knew
hysterical.
It. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. That because until you see these actors' performances, then you're still going to love it.
They're great.
So, yeah. So let's start with our heroine, Yo Mi-ran, Kim Ok-Vin, lawyer by day, and basically a vigilante by night. So we love this description of her from Drama Beans. Mi-ran is an absolute BAMF. Badass motherfucker, who immediately captured my attention with her strong woman Do Bong Soon-like introduction. She's a champion of love and justice, throwing punches and shade at anyone who exhibits deplorable behavior. She's particularly passionate about dismantling gender stereotypes and calling attention to internalized societal misogyny that is prevalent in dating, work, and even family life. So what do you think of this description, and does it speak to why you fell for Mi-ran upon starting this drama?
100%. Like, that's so perfect. Like, I loved it so much, which is why I'm like, well, I can't say it any better than this, which is why I jotted that down, because the drama starts with her, like, basically beating people up
or
doing bad things, with her breaking men's hearts before they break hers. Like, you know, like, it's been a while since I've watched. I know it's been even longer since you have, but like, doesn't she, like, bump into like her, like the guy she's dating, like in a hotel while they're both like seeing other people or something like
that?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like, oh, like because she's very much like, I should be able to do what I want and I should be able to sleep around if he sleeps around.
Yep.
My favorite part about her is that she's for the girls.
Yes.
For the girls. So one thing I don't like is that a lot of times if you have a character like this who's kind of like bucking gender stereotypes, she gives sort of that icky, like, I'm not like the other girls vibe, where she has so much internalized misogyny that it like doesn't gel. But in this drama, everything she does is for the girls. So if she sees anyone, even if it's a woman, she doesn't know if she sees,
like, walking past on the street.
Oh, and they're being mistreated by a man, she will kick that man's ass. And she'll be like, girl, do you need help? Like, she, like, is for the girls.
And she's, like, a street fighter. Like, she...
Yeah, she's, like, a street fighter. And she has girlfriends, like,
yes,
who she loves, who she'll do anything for. Other women do like her. I think that was my favorite part about her, is I was like, okay, well, then she would be my friend. I don't feel... You know what I mean? And she didn't look down on other women because they couldn't fight. She's like, no, that's why I'm going to be strong, because I'm going to help, you know, women stand up for themselves. And it was so great. Like, I absolutely loved her. And when the drama started, I actually, she was a little, I didn't know how to take her when the drama started, because she was so, even though I just said that she's not like the other girls, she truly wasn't like a lot of K-drama heroines. Usually a lot of K-drama heroines are just a little bit more demure. They're a little bit more, I don't know, like timid, or even if they're like verbally abrasive, they're not physically. And she was kind of like all of that. And I sort of didn't know how to take her. And I also didn't know how the drama was going to handle her. And then when I realized the drama was handling her by not giving her maternalized misogyny, that they were handling her in a way where she loves herself as a woman and she loves other yes. women, I yes. was like, oh, shit, this is fantastic. And then I absolutely fell for her. And she has this thing where, so one of the like traits of her character, she can do literally anything. Anything. You want her to sing and dance, she'll sing and dance. You want her to play Go, she can play Go. She can do anything. And in a way, like, it didn't make her feel unrelatable or otherworldly, because instead I was like, I almost like felt like I was cosplaying as her. Because when she would like walk into a situation, I was like, oh, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. And then I felt confident too, because I was like, oh, my girl's got it. You know, like, I yeah, just,
it was infectious.
I love that about her. Yeah, very, very much so.
Okay. Next, we have Nam Gang-ho, played by Woo Tae-ho, one of South Korea's top leading men who, in his private life, is romance averse. Why? His first love was an ambitious social climber who trampled his heart. So now, he thinks this is every woman's agenda, to the extent that he gets panic attacks when he has to touch a woman, which does not make his line of work, playing the romantic hero, an easy feat. What was your first impression of him?
He was interesting because he was also a little unlikable. Like, they were almost both a little unlikable in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that. I was like, okay, drama will get me to like them. And the drama did. But I would say my first impression, I was like, I mean, he's gorgeous, but he's a dick.
Yeah,
I mean, he was.
He seemed like you didn't know why. Like, you didn't.
But he's got some internal damage. I mean, he doesn't have a yes. rain phobia. He basically has a kiss phobia, and that's okay. You know, and honestly, he did get burned really badly. I mean, the fact that he has panic attacks over kiss, whatever, it's very K-drama ish. But the fact that he has major trust issues and he thinks that, you know, other women are just going to use him to climb the social ladder or further their career. That's fair. That's a very fair trust issue that he has.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate now with the okay. Drama Beans assessment, just because I thought it was interesting.
Oh, okay.
So, because I was reading this Drama Beans review to like refresh myself about the drama. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. And like, she had some really interesting things to say. So this is the assessment of his panic disorder. And so, this is not us, this is Drama Beans. To be honest, right. His panic disorder was an eye roll inducing plot device used so our leading lady can prove she is quote unquote special by being the cure for his affliction, which was completely unnecessary for these two characters or the narrative. The story would have done better to ground his aversion to women in a series of experiences that showed how his fame and fortune contributed to a cognitive bias. A sample size of 2 to 3 is pretty wimpy, and compared to Miran, who has experienced sexism on the daily, his stats make it hard to sympathize with his overgeneralization and hatred for all adult women. Now, I don't think he hates women.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that yeah. assessment, but I also think they're generalizing how the problem was that he didn't really like kissing his co-stars because I thought the whole actual panic attack thing was a little much, but I don't think he hated women. I think he was very suspect of women in his industry more so.
Yes.
Because the
woman who broke his heart was his girlfriend from college and they were both actors. And she basically was like, see ya. I got a big job. Like, you know, we're done kind of thing. And his whole thing was, I have to make it big. to right. prove to her that I was worthy. And
yeah, I
know, like that's it's a K-drama trope, like where the man, like, look, men are fragile.
But I mean, right? I mean, like, I know. I do think it's funny that she's like, Miran experiences sexism on the daily and he had like one bad breakup. I look, that is fair. It is totally fair. I also think it's also fair that he's mistrustful, especially because he really, really loved this woman and he thought they were going to get married and be together forever. And you learn later in the drama that inside, he is an absolute gooey fucking marshmallow. Like,
yes.
Inside, he is extremely squishy and he has no armor, no defenses when he falls in love.
Total golden retriever.
Yeah. When he falls in love, he is all in completely. And he is devoted to the woman that he just wants to lay in bed and stare at her. Like, and smile like a goofy, goofy goober. So once you get to know him, you understand why that relationship hurt him so very badly, because he really, truly cannot cope with, like, he's just, do you know what I mean? Like,
and that's inside. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, men are fragile.
Yeah, I mean, he's fragile. And so, again, that's fair.
Not but all I also, men. I'm not saying all men, but a lot no. of men.
But I do think that his reaction to that relationship was consistent with how he acted later when he's in a romantic relationship. It
yes.
felt when consistent
they do,
to
right,
his character.
Right. When they do finally fall for each other and like shit goes down, he's ready to give it all up for her.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he has like an actual like panic attack every time he kisses a woman is a little much. But again, this is a K-drama. I mean,
right. We go,
come on.
We go we hard rain on phobias. The drama.
We have right. zip tie phobias. I mean...
We change names of our characters.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, this is pretty minor, okay?
We leave orphans on the doorstep of an orphanage. Orphans that we rescued from the park and took home for a month.
Yeah, so...
Not in this drama.
We have parkouring errand boys and mole villains. I mean, just, you know, this. So again, that's why I was like, compared to all those, this is low angst and pretty normal.
It is. It's very low angst. Like the panic attacks are not like, it's not like a major thing.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So let's talk about the comedy aspect of this rom-com. Like you already brought up that it does do some physical comedy well, especially the comedy between the main leads. Specifically, let's talk about that scene that I brought up that you had already told me about. And I'm going to let you do it again. Okay. The dude already told me about in Sell Me on a K-Drama. And this is a scene. Well, it's like a series of scenes that kind of all go together where Miran thinks that Gong Ho is a pedophile dating a teenager.
So before the Netflix blurb is very good, but the fake dating happens much later. The first thing that kind of forces these two together is that he learns that she's like a really great fighter and he needs to learn how to fight dirty for his role in his drama or movie. And right now he fights like super clean and polished because he's
like stage combat. Like that's basically what he can do.
And the director was like, no, I want you to fight dirty. And he's like, well, I know this woman who fights like super freaking dirty. And he's like, I'll hire her to teach me how to fight. So he hires her and she hates him. Because she thinks that his niece, the high school girl, who is actually his niece, she thinks he's, like, dating her, like, molesting her, okay? And so, of
By
course,
the way, the because, way they know each other, the way they get thrown together is she gets a job at the law firm that represents him.
Right. So that's like, how he knows.
That's how they all, like, get together. Yeah.
So she is for the girls, okay? So even though she doesn't have all the facts... She's like, I hate this fucker. Like, I hate him. So when he's like, can you teach me how to fight? She's like, oh, baby, it's on. So she's like, hell yeah. So takes him into this gym and proceeds to beat the living shit out of him. I mean, I'm talking.
It's like concussing him.
It's at one point she knocks him out, completely knocks him out. And then I think it's like his phone rings
She's there. Like, she comes there.
Yeah, the girl comes in and she's like, oh my gosh, Sam Chun, you know, like, uncle, what happened? And Miran is like, wait, uncle? Niece? Meanwhile, he is like bleeding and coming to from her knocking him out. And he's like, oh, my niece. Oh, gosh. Sorry. I'm just working here. And Miran is like, oh, shit, I fucked up. I beat the shit out of this guy. And it's his niece. And because Miran has values, she has morals. She doesn't just kick the shit out of, like, she's not a man hater. She's not going to kick the shit out of a man.
She's
not a man hater.
She's just a woman protector.
Exactly. So now when she finds out that she kicked the shit out of this man for no reason, she is horrified. And so he kind of like stumbles to his feet and he like says bye to his niece and she leaves and he's like, okay, I see now that I need a lot more lessons. So come on, bring it on again. And Miran's like, oh God, no, I can't hit him. I can't. So she starts running from him. She runs away and she's like hiding behind like punching bags. And he's like, come on, why won't you fight me? And she's like, no. And it's just the whole scene is freaking hysterical. I love how she found out. I love that they didn't draw that plot line out really far either, because like, I don't want a whole plot line where she thinks he's a pedophile. Like, who wants that?
No.
So they wrapped that up well. They wrapped it up in a funny way. Yoo Tae-oh and Kim Ji-hoon are like besties. I think Kim Ji-hoon is like his manager or something like that.
Manager, yeah.
Yeah, and they have a really funny relationship. At one point, they like, Yoo Tae-oh's like, or Kim Ji-hoon's like, why don't you practice kissing with me? And like, they're like on the couch. And just the whole thing is just so good. Very funny.
It is.
And you just gotta see it for yourself.
It's done so well. It really is.
It does.
So as Miran and Gung Ho spend more time together, they realize they both have made incorrect assumptions about the other. She thought he was a pedophile. He thought she was a crazy fangirl, because what we haven't mentioned yet is on her first day of work at the law firm, while she's like waiting. Is she even like waiting to be interviewed? She might not even have the job yet. And she sees him there and she already thinks he's like a womanizing like a-hole. She trips him when he walks by. Like, that's their first interaction.
The physical comedy,
yes,
of him falling. Is
oh, fantastic. My God. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And so she basically, like, to explain that away later when they end up working together, she's like, it's because I'm a huge fan. But of course, neither are true. And after one drunken kiss that gets caught on camera, Gong Ho's manager, Do Won Jun, who's played by a very, like I said, non-murderous Kim Ji-hoon, suggests that he set up a fake dating contract between Gong Ho and Miran to squash some false rumors in the press about Gong Ho being gay. She agrees. And while teaching Gong Ho to fight for his action scenes, she catches his director's eye and ends up getting hired as the leading lady stunt double, the leading lady who is, of course, none other than Gong Ho's ex, who is still in love with him. So thoughts on this whole setup? Like, did you like the fake dating? Like you said, it did come in later, especially when they had like a whole movie set of actors and crew that they had to like pretend in front of.
Yeah, I liked it. And I think I liked it because in a way she was protecting him. And I guess I liked that role reversal because it felt different.
Yeah.
And she also had to like physically protected him at one point because she like fell down this like escalator or something, and it was all to like not have him get hurt or like staff member or something like that. But I mean, she was like, I just felt like this, the drama, like there was definitely a mix of gender stereotypes that were broken. And
oh yeah,
this was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, she beats the shit out of him.
The fact that she was the stunt double and not him.
She was the stunt double. She saves him. Yeah. With the escalator thing, there's even a scene like once they're like dating where they're like wrestling in bed and she like can totally like pin him. Like, it's just, it's great. Like, I love that she gets to be strong and he finds that sexy.
And I like, again, going back to like the mature relationship. Yeah, they're like playful in bed.
Yes.
I was like, this, thank you. Like, you know,
seriously, like the skinship with them is A+. Yeah. Like, loved it.
So when Miran's best friend and roommate, Na-eun, finds out about the contract, because it just comes through the fax machine, she storms into Do-won Jun's office, furious, which Do-won Jun is Kim Ji-hoon, wanting to protect her bestie. Of course, one look at the gorgeous man and she is smitten. Did you enjoy watching the second lead romance and the convenience of our leads' besties falling for each other?
Yeah, I mean, it was convenient, but I honestly cared not one bit for the second leads. Like, they didn't, they were fine. Like, of course, like, you know, I love Kim Ji-hoon, but the story for me was our leads in this, and in such a short drama, again, they were fine, but it wasn't the same kind of chemistry for me. And I hate seeing the time get pulled away from our main leads when we only have 10 hours with them.
Yeah, that's funny you say this, because we didn't talk about this ahead of time, and that's how I feel too.
Yeah.
In such a short drama, I didn't need the second leads, and the second leads, the chemistry between the two main leads in this drama was so good that the second leads were just kind of there.
Yeah.
Like, they were never going to be. And I was kind of like, when they first kind of like started their little thing, I was like, ooh, this could be good. And then it just sort of fizzled. It just wasn't that exciting. I mean, like, good for them. But I think he did some sort of grand gesture.
I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit.
No.
Because he seemed actually kind of disinterested in her the whole time.
He did. He absolutely did.
I was like, are you sure? Or is this just because it's convenient and you get to go on double dates?
That's like, pretty much what it is, I think. Like, for sure.
We see you.
And like, that's great. Like, everybody wants their besties to be in love with their, you know, with their lover's bestie. But yeah, I didn't need that story. It took away from a really great story that I was really enjoying.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so the dark night of the soul comes for our couple after they've finally fallen for each other, for real. Mm-hmm. No more pretending. Miran's dating history gets publicly exposed, and her supposed promiscuity threatens Gung Ho's career. Like you said before, he is all in, ready to leave his career for her. But of course, we have our third act breakup because Miran won't let him do that. Thoughts on how this all plays out? And did you cry at the end? Because I did.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like that they address slut shaming. I thought that was something that's like not addressed in K-dramas. So the fact, and because she never was sorry for her action, like as she shouldn't be. But no. I just mean she was never like, oh gosh, I'm so ashamed. She was never ashamed, ever. The only thing she cared about was the fact that she's hurt, because she didn't even care for herself. It didn't hurt her, really. She didn't really care. She's right. Like, okay, I dated a lot.
She hurt his image.
Yeah, she was upset because she hurt his image, even if she didn't think it should hurt his
right.
image.
Right, and he didn't care either. But she's like, I'm not going to let you like play the martyr and like give up your career for me.
Right. So I like that that was addressed. And I also like that he's like, I don't care.
Right. Like, and he's like, well, I'm not. And so what happens first is he's like, well, we're not breaking up over this. And she's like, well, we have to somehow like save your image. So they pretend to break up.
I know.
First, which is so cute.
Because then they would like sneak away together.
Sneak away together. But then they find out that they're still seeing each other and it all blows up again. And she's like, nope, can't do it. And she leaves him. And he responds to it by publicly proposing to her at a press conference. And she doesn't show.
That was rough. Yeah. That was rough. Because I was like, in K-drama fashion, she'll show up, right?
And then when she finally does, she does do the grovel at the end, which I thought was adorable because mm-hmm. Miran, who, and look, I'm not saying that crying is weak, but she has been so like sort of stone-faced and like, you know, like not very emotional when things go wrong because she can handle it, right? And she finally is like putting her heart on the line, which she hasn't done before. And she's sobbing to him because like he's making her grovel because he's like, I proposed to you and you didn't show up. And so not in a mean way, but he's kind of like holding back because she's like, are you not going to take me back now? Like, I'm sorry.
I know. Blah, blah.
And
like, I know.
And she's hysterically crying. And he's like, okay, I've put you through enough. He's like, of course.
Yeah,
like, I love
again,
you.
Again, he's a freaking marshmallow.
Yeah,
and you knew he would take it back.
Yeah. So I'm not. Yeah. And I didn't want it to come out wrong that it's like weak of her to cry. But she's been like so in control of her emotions that she
I
finally.
Think that was when she- she let herself be
she vulnerable. Finally let her herself be vulnerable and felt okay doing that with him, and I loved that.
Yeah, and I don't know, I think it's kind of a little bait and switch with, like, the grand gesture falls flat a little bit. Like, I like that.
Yes.
And, yeah, I mean, I cried because I love this couple so much, and I really felt like they deserved to be together. I mean, like, I just need you all to understand how much of a marshmallow he is. Once he falls in love
with her. It's so cute. I can't stand it.
It is ludicrous. He is... And it doesn't feel like a change in his personality. It feels like
we're getting to see the real him.
We're seeing that, like, he has taken off all his armor and he is just a soft jello. Like, that's just a jiggly jello. He's got no armor with her.
But he's not jiggly, actually, when you look at him.
No.
He is thick and fit.
And I like it because it's almost like she's kind of the strong one for. But yet when shit hits the fan. And, you know, she's getting, like, dragged through the mud. He's like, oh, I don't give a shit. I still love you. Are you kidding me? Like, right. I don't care. I don't care. Let's go sneak out and have a date. Like, he's just like, let's keep going.
And what I do love, and I don't remember exactly how this happens because it's been a while, but it is her ex from the beginning, who she ends up working with at the same law firm, mm-hmm. who, like, comes through for her and, like,
he does.
Protects her image.
He does. I remember. Yeah.
And
does.
So I thought
he
that was
kind of liked her.
And yeah, he did. He still liked her, but not liked her like an asshole and wanted her to pay because he couldn't have her. He wanted her to be happy.
Yeah.
And he helped, like, basically, like, restore her image.
Yeah, because he, like, knows she's cool. Like, yes. This thing, most people that meet her, like, end up loving her because she's that cool. She's that fun. And she has a very big heart, even though she shows it in strange ways.
Yes.
Like, beating people up. But. I mean, it's just so good. It's such a good romance. It's such a good, condensed, happy romance.
I would watch it again.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God. I would watch again, but I would fast forward through the second leads.
I know. I feel really bad.
I do. I feel bad because, like, they're lovely people and
yeah,
good actors. It just,
yeah, it
was
their fault.
It was like their story was just kind of thrown in there.
Yeah, and it was just never going to be as good as the leads because the leads were just so, so good with such a good story. So, yeah, I mean, I watched it in 2023, and it was probably one of my favorite dramas of the year. And I remember so many people were like, you got to watch it. And, of course, I kept getting the drama name wrong.
Hate to Love You. Is it Hate to Love You or Love to Hate You?
I mean,
Love to Hate You.
Yes, yeah, Love to Hate You. But I got it wrong a whole bunch of times. But it's fantastic. So yeah, I feel like we already said final thoughts. I mean, unless you have something else, my recommendation is you gotta watch it.
It's great. Like, you just want, like, a feel good drama, like, watch this drama.
And it's sexy.
It is sexy. They're sexy. He's sexy. I seriously, I love him.
He's so, I need to know, like, his next role. I think it's crazy that he does Love to Hate You, which, I mean, again, it's great, but then he goes to, like, Past Lives. Like, it's, like, a little bit of a mind fuck, but he was also.
And that's, I mean, that was the thing, like, Past Lives, I saw Past Lives, and I'm like, I need to see this man get a happily ever after.
and he gets it, and it's a great happily ever after. Like, you will finish this drama, and you'll cry a little, but you'll be very happy, because it's really fantastic.
And I know this is just kind of, like, stupid, but, like, he's multilingual, Uteo.
Yeah.
And there were just random times where he would just, like, speak in English, like, in perfect, like, English. And his voice is just so hot.
So I still remember the scene where his manager scares him when he's on the sofa and he goes, Jesus Christ, a little privacy, please. And it's so funny.
It's funny. It's hot. Like, I just, yeah. Like, just
there's
oh it's just because I know it's because I know in real life that he's multilingual, so I just think it's smart men are hot, like,
and in real life he's like a soft marshmallow goober from what we've seen.
Oh my God. Wearing his turtle pin.
Yes, turtle pin at the Oscars. There is a scene too where he's like mad about something and he's wearing like house slippers and he kicks the house slippers and it hits something and he kind of makes like an ee face that wasn't scripted.
Oh, so
that
really?
Was like, oh yeah, he like hit something and was like, oops. And they kept it. And it's so great because he makes the funniest face. I love him.
I do love him. I do love him. Go watch Past Lives too if you haven't seen Past Lives.
Actually is making me want to watch it again. And I rarely feel like that.
I think I want to watch just the last episode again, because it's when it's the reconciliation, like their emotional reconciliation. It just got me.
I want to watch like the fun and games and the
yeah, the fun and games are good too.
Yeah. And when they're literally just lying in bed staring at each other in love, like it's so
good. I love, yeah. I mean, like, because she has been like so anti relationship because of the misogyny that she deals with every day, right? Mm-hmm. And then when she does finally let herself be open and vulnerable, like she's a marshmallow with him too. Like, I love it.
She's obsessed with him too. They're adorable together. Well, anyway, let us know if you've seen it, if you liked it or not. If you didn't like it, we don't care. I'm just kidding.
If you didn't like it, we are not going to like listen to you. You can say it. You can say all you want. We're not going to respond. No.
Yeah. Let us know if we convinced you to watch it if you didn't.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And check out our K-pop rec, Midas Touch by Kiss of Life. And I think that's it. Right?
Yep. We hope Leah had a great time at D-Day, the movie.
You know she did.
I know.
You know she did.
I know.
She's going to send us a video of her, like, crying.
I hope she has a better experience than I did when I went to go see Permission to Dance, Yet to Come in theaters, when I was the only one in my theater out here in suburban
the
Illinois.
The only one. You had a whole theater? That's actually creepy.
Whole theater for Yet to Come. And I'm like standing up and like singing and dancing.
You're like,
I'm like, nobody else is in here. I don't know if there's somebody like in like the film room. Like, do people stay in there? Like, why?
I don't
like,
think so anymore.
I hope not. But that's I'm like, I can't just sit here. Like,
right. I would be on my feet for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm sure that won't happen with her. I think,
no.
Well, she probably went with one of her kids too.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't get one of my kids to come with me.
Yeah. God.
So, fine.
Why do I even have kids if they won't come do stupid shit with me?
That's why I made them.
I know, right? All right. Well, anyway, we'll be back next week with more K-drama goodness. So we'll see you then.
Annyeong. Annyeong.
감사합니다. Thank you for listening to Afternoon of Delight. Where can you find us outside the pod? Head on over to afternoonadelight.com. That's afternoonadelight.com. You'll find links to all our social media, our book recs, K-pop and K-skincare recs, and if you want even more Afternoon of Delight, because really who doesn't, you can join our Patreon, where you can choose the patron level that's right for you. Join in daily K-drama conversations, listen to bonus podcast episodes just for patrons, and participate in our monthly live K-drama support group via Zoom. We can't wait for you to be a part of the community. Until next time, 안녕!